Now that's a fucking tasty beverage. Thank you for joining us, friendos. You've just tuned in to Untethered. So we're just going to hop right into this jazz. This is Untethered by Tether Radio. Yes, I know. You might be questioning, wait a second. This is Tether Radio, but you just told me I was untethered. Well, guess what? You're right. And fuck you.
Damn.
Yeah, really aggressive. Damn.
No. We thank you guys so much for joining us, dude. We're gonna hop right into this stuff. It is October, and we love October here at Tether Radio.
It's because we're spooky bitches.
We are spooky bitches, and guess what? I put a little something together to get us into the mood of October. Oh my gosh. Yes, don't look behind you.
You're making this sound like way too romantic.
No, man, I love the Halloween theme. This is just like, I mean, my God. Full.
Dude, it would be awesome if this just played in the background during the entire episode. It's like low key in the background. That'd be awesome.
Like mess up everybody. Like everybody would be listening and be like, is it still playing? Did they ever turn it off?
Do they know it's looping?
Is this on purpose?
Do they know they put it on loop?
I'm losing my shit. I'm freaking out, man.
Yeah. So we decided for the month of October, we are going to be doing recommendations for media. Allie's doing books. I'm doing movies. Larry's taking TV. Potentially, maybe some overlap of movies. I don't know.
I'm gonna focus on the series.
Okay, focusing on series. So, man, without further ado, who wants to hop into this stuff?
I will.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard of House of Leaves?
That sounds very familiar.
Because it's like everybody's book that they fucking can't finish.
Oh, okay.
Because it's insane.
All right. Please.
It's okay. This is from a post from Gizmodo, and it says, did you hear that one about the book that's about a man reading a manuscript about a movie that doesn't exist? Like, it's like several layers of story in the story. I have picked it up at the bookstore and flipped through it and been like, no, and put it back because
really
it's
really overwhelming.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really overwhelming. A girl that I'm friends with on Goodreads posted her like tips for reading it the other day. And I'm like, if you have to put... Now I have to read it.
What a fucking strategy guide to read a book?
Yeah. There's a few books like that that are like white whales, you know?
Strategy guide to read a book?
Yeah.
I like that, dude.
And her tips were even like, okay, so there's like end notes and like, yeah, read them because there's a lot of Easter eggs. But also like if they're really long, don't worry too much about reading them. Like, because when you read the book, you're going to want to read it again. So like next time... you'll pick up more. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so much.
Oh my.
Like, Jesus, not only do I feel like I have to read it once, but I have to read it a few times. Fuck. So anyway, it's just, I don't know. It's supposed to be really like, if you get through it, then you really like it. Like a lot of people really like it. But most people say just to kind of go into it without like knowing a whole lot about it. Cause you don't want spoilers or anything,
sure.
But like just flipping through it. Some of the pages are written like, upside down or like on an angle or whatever. It's strange.
Yeah. It was super. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. Yeah.
But the people that I've known in real life and online that have read it have loved it.
Yeah.
So, people are like, it's kind of like a small real life documentary described as being financially successful and then also ruining a whole sub. No, wait, fuck. That's about the book itself. This book. The story is saying that you can compare this kind of to how Blair Witch was, and like,
I mean, I liked Blair Witch.
Yeah, I think that's what they're saying.
That
it's
was
like
a fun story.
You get unsettled because as it goes, the characters are less stable and less reliable. So like you get like
interesting.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool, but it's supposed to be really
complicated. That sounds like I also need to get like a hard copy of it.
You absolutely need to get a hard copy of it.
So
yeah, you need to get hard.
I need to get hard, and then I.
I'm sorry, copy hard it. Copy is what I meant.
Yeah, of course.
My bad.
All right. Well, I'm gonna cruise on with the recommendation of Midsommar.
Yeah.
So.
I've not even seen it. I'm just obsessed with that costume.
Yeah. So first of all, the costume's amazing.
Yeah.
And the I will say that anybody that is super into, my God, just like cinematography.
Yeah.
Just in general, it is shot so beautifully, and just like the the thing. You got to have patience with this movie is what I'm going to preface this with. You got to have patience. Dude, this motherfucker is 2 hours, 51 minutes. So Allie just left, and she said that she'll come back in a little bit.
I don't do movies. You know I can't do a long movie.
And I do have to say that I normally don't do long movies.
Yeah.
I want to go back and rewatch this. I did think it was a little long, but having stated that, it is just, it's one of these things that they have these long, like, zoom scenes kind of thing.
Yes.
That it just, it builds really well.
Yeah.
I thought it might be a little much kind of thing. Like, it was like a zoom scene that went on for, we'll say, a minute that should have been a half minute kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you have a couple of those kind of thing. But, man, it is... I really like movies like this because horror genres that really eat at me are the ones that, in my eyes, have the potential to actually exist kind of thing. Like the zombies, the vampires, they're really fun to watch, in my opinion. I really look for, like, practical effects or really good CGI and stuff. But...
That explains why you haven't watched the fucking couch movie that I recommended.
The couch movie? What couch movie?
Again, Daniel, you forgot about the couch that eats people?
What's it called again?
Fuck, I forgot.
It's called something like The Sofa or something.
It's called, and it's just got, like, called the, like, the Hungry Creepy Couch. Chair,
remember?
It probably is The Creepy Chair, because wasn't there something called The Comfy Chair? Comfy Couch. Oh, The Creepy Couch.
I have to look it up again.
I don't know.
I think Daniel just glitched out.
Anyway, so a couple traveled to Sweden to visit their friend's rural hometown for its fabled Midsummer Festival. But what begins as an idyllic retreat quickly devolves into an increasingly violent and bizarre competition at the hands of a pagan cult. I love cult movies. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, because that shit is the shit that creeps me out, because it exists in real life. Period. It does. Maybe it ain't getting picked up by, like, fucking mainstream, but this shit exists. These Hollywood directors, or I'm sorry, Hollywood writers, are not that creative. Whatever, some kind of notion about some story that, you know, or whatever tale that they hear about something that actually occurred in real life, mm-hmm. and they extrapolate. And so this shit was just super fucking creepy, because it just gets absolutely wild. I would definitely recommend it. Like I said, came out in 2019, just shy of 3 hours, so it's a bit of a... whatever. It's on
stretch.
Yeah, bit of a stretch. It's on Prime Video. Past that, you're on your own. So, Larry, I'm gonna pass the torch to you, brother.
All right, what I have is a psychological thriller. So everyone by now should know the show You. I myself watched the first season. I have not watched the second season. So if you have not watched the second season like me, there are going to be a little bit of spoilers here, mm-hmm. but it, like I said, it's the third season of the American psychological thriller. You will come out on, I believe, October 15th.
Ooh, just in time.
Yes. So in, it will feature the continuation of Dan Humphrey. No, I'm just kidding. Bill Goldberg's.
XOXO.
Yeah, Joe Glover's fraught relationship with Love, who is pregnant with his child in a new suburban home.
Oh, God.
So here's the synopsis of it. In the third season, Joe and Love are married and raising their own newborn son. Henry, in the California suburbs of Madre Linda, as the relationship dramatically takes a new turn, Joe continues to repeat the cycle of obsession with the what is that word?
Bourgeois.
Huh?
Bourgeois.
Does it look like bourgeois?
Yeah,
that's bourgeois.
Bourgeoisie. I don't know.
Anyway, it's his interest in a girl named Natalie, the next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. This time, Love will flip the script to ensure that her dream of having the perfect family will not be torn away so easily by Joe's compulsive actions. So if you watch the first and second season, you know how crazy this fucking show can get. Mm-hmm. First season was ridiculous. A lot of gaslighting. Sorry.
Yeah.
A lot of gaslighting, a lot of manipulation, a lot of stalking. Second season, I'm assuming, continued with it. I haven't seen the second season, but the third season is promised to be more focused on the his girlfriend Love, of course, which should have some promising turnouts.
Very nice. How much? No, I just kidding. And that's
free. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Hey, fucking Netflix ain't free, brother.
It is if you get your login from someone else.
That's a good point. My parents are like just absolutely loving it because they have access to our Plex stuff, our HBO like Go stuff, our Netflix stuff, our Disney Plus, and they're like, I don't know why people need cable. I'm like, yeah, no shit, because you have like all of our logins. All right, so what's the next book?
I'm gonna do two just back to back real quick. Okay, so there's one that's called These Violent Delights, which is such a cool name.
I really like that.
Yeah, it's young adult. The cover's really cool. It's got like a sword and like flowers and shit. I don't know, a bunch of stuff. It's a World War II. What? Where did I get what? It's a retelling. I don't know where I came up with World War II. My brain's broken. It is a retelling of Romeo and Juliet, but it's set in 1920s Shanghai.
Real quick.
Yeah.
So in our house, there's like, you walk up the front stairs and there's like an exposed hallway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you call it? I don't even know. But Megan loves to come out of the bonus room and talk to me down from the...
Oh, and it's very Romeo and Juliet.
And I'm like, dude, this is like supreme, like, That's funny, you know, Juliet, or whatever. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, dude, you're fucking killing my neck. Just come downstairs. Right. Like, come on. Anyway, sorry.
That's awesome. I can picture that.
Yeah, side note.
But whatever with Romeo and Juliet retellings. There's a million of them. But... the girl that I heard describe this said that it's pretty brutal and that there was a scene where people ripped out their own throats.
Jeez.
I'm like, that's a lot. That's so gnarly,
to say the least.
Yeah, but both sides show signs of instability, culminating in clawing their own throats out, and the people start to whisper. Yeah, everybody's nuts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Holy hell. So that took a turn.
And then the other one.
Wait, real quick. What's it called again?
These Violent Delights. These Violent Delights. And it's by Chloe Gong.
Okay.
It's just $1.99 on Kindle right now.
Okay.
But I think it's a fairly cheap book anyway. It's young adult, so it should be a pretty like short read, even though it's 449 pages. Still probably read pretty quick.
Yeah.
If you can read like young adult. Like fantasy stuff. I don't think I can.
Allie just looked at me and I feel like shots have been fired.
No, I said, if you can read, and then I just looked at you. No. Then the other one I was going to say was probably everybody has either watched the movie or at least heard of it, other than I've not watched the movie because I'm the worst, but a Stephen King book called Misery.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah. Paul Sheldon's best-selling novelist. He's met his number one fan, and she also ends up tending his shattered body after an automobile accident. But she's really mad that he's not like riding fast enough, and then he killed off her favorite character, so she starts torturing him. Sounds pretty cool.
God, I feel like Allie's like taking notes from that one.
No!
Just kidding. No, man, that's yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty unnerving.
Like, I actually have not seen.
Really?
I've never seen the movie, okay. Never read the book, but I've heard great things about both.
I saw a really good Halloween costume last year, yeah, of Kathy Bates' character from that. And I mean, it was perfect.
Hell yeah.
It was so, like, you just saw it and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to cruise on with a favorite of mine from a director by the name of Frank Hinnenlotter. You might have seen his other flick. Well, actually, he's got a couple other. The first one that comes to mind is Frankenhooker. I may or may not give a little synopsis on that one. The other one was Basket Case. But his movies are just fucking like off the reserve, dude. Like, it is when you sit down to a Frank Hinnenlotter film, you need to just suspend the fact that you're even alive. I don't know. So a young man discovers a disgusting parasite has attached itself to his brainstem. He becomes addicted to the psychedelic euphoria it produces, but in return, he must feed it human victims. So if this sounds weird, it is, period. Like,
it kind of sounds like Venom a little bit.
So this is the thing that they don't tell you in this synopsis. It has a voice that is like, "Hi, my name's Elmer." Like, it is the weirdest fucking voice. Like,
wait, the parasite has a voice?
Correct.
And so it's like Venom.
I don't know, because I'm not that. Are you talking about with Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
I need to see it again, because I think I was like drunk or something when I watched it. So, but anyway, the thing that I really like about this, first of all, it's super dated. Came out in 88. Cool thing is under 90 minutes. For all the people out there, they're like, you want to hit it and get it and fucking move on. Rock and roll. I appreciate that. The wild thing about this, there are a couple scenes in this that are just so incredibly unsettling. Like, the main protagonist, his name is Brian. He gets addicted to this stuff, and it like lets him. It basically is like ecstasy, LSD, everything like mixed in one, everything that will make you feel as good as possible. So he gets addicted to it immediately. And then he's like, no, fuck this. I'm going to like, whatever. I'm going to detox myself. So he like rents this motel room kind of thing. And he puts the Elmer, which is what it's called, in the sink. And it's singing like these, like, as he's going through, like, withdrawal in the same scene, like, just like, you know. He's singing, like, these weird, creepy, just, like, fucking, like, 1920s, like, whatever songs. Like, ugh. It is just... It's very unsettling. But Larry's over here and he's like, not only am I never going to watch this, but fuck this.
I don't know. I might watch it. You never know.
Hey, guess what? I own it. I'll let you borrow it if you want to. So,
do you own a physical copy of it?
I do. You don't have a DVD player, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to plug in my Xbox.
Okay, well, I'm not going to lie, dude. If you want to watch it, I'll let you borrow it, man. But yeah, it is super weird. I don't even know the fucking the service Tubi. It's available on Tubi.
Yeah,
it's a weird one. Yeah.
Is it another Quibi thing?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's just one of those, like, that nobody actually abuses.
Yeah, probably. I'm not gonna lie.
I'll say it's so quippy.
I'm not gonna lie. Brain damage is on it, so
yeah.
I would actually say don't sign up for Tubi. Go sign up for Shudder. So if you like horror shit,
yeah, and Shudder is always doing discount codes.
Yeah. All right, Larry, passing the ball, dude.
Well, I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna throw a curveball at you guys.
Ooh, I like a curveball.
There is. Sorry, I'm typing it in right now. I'm a little behind because I decided to just switch it up.
All right.
There's this film that is a horror thriller called Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight 2.
Okay, so there was a first one.
There was a first one.
Okay.
When something horrible happens to the only survivor of a bloody massacre, an insecure rookie cop must overcome his fear to stop further carnage. Mm. Now, obviously, I did not watch the first one.
Did you watch the second one?
But you can watch, the second one.
That's amazing.
So anyway, this seems more like a Jeepers Creepers type thing to me. Okay. Honestly, I don't know much about it, and I suck at presenting it because the one that I was going to present was not really a scary type thing, but anyway,
was it like psychological horror kind of or psychological
So when you look at this,
going to talk about porno, weren't you?
it's a Polish slasher. The first one was Nobody Sleeps in the Woods. Yep. The sequel will follow the same gory grindhouse inspired model, meaning we are going to get another big fun teen slasher.
Yeah.
Just like Halloween or fucking Friday the 13th.
Sure.
More slashers are more joyous thing according to this synopsis.
Dude, sex, blood, gore, horror, like that is the horror genre.
This is going to come out just right before Halloween. Okay. So the synopsis goes like this. Innocently enough, a group of technology addicted teens find themselves in an offline campus offline camp. However, hiking in the woods with no smartphone in sight will not go as planned. Obviously, plot twist, M. Night Shyamalan. This is not an M. Night Shyamalan movie. What a twist. Anyway, they will have to fight for their lives against things they've never seen before, even in the darkest reaches of the internet. Faced against the dangers lurking in the forest, they will find true friendship, love, and sacrifice. Will they come out of it in one piece or in bloody bits? Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight, Part 2, arrives on Netflix beginning on October 27th.
It's coming out for everyone to watch for Halloween.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love good releases like that, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. Rock and roll, man. And what was it called one more time?
It's called Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight, Part 2.
All right. And what was it on?
Netflix.
Fuck yeah. Oh, real quick, just as a side note, oh my God, what was it called? It was a series that was, it was three movies, and it was like, doesn't matter. I watched it kind of semi-recently, and it was actually good. It was like tracking this curse through different, like, centuries kind of thing.
Okay.
But I can't remember what the fuck it's called. Anyway, please. Let's take us into book territory, and then I'll wrap.
I had one more that's just sort of, it's more dystopia than scary, but it's called Scythe. Oh. Like a Grim Reaper.
I,
what?
Thought, I thought it was literally called Ska. And I was like, Ska, damn. I don't know.
No, okay. My brain wanted to pronounce it Scythe because that's how it's spelled, but it's pronounced Scythe, like a Grim Reaper's sickle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Before you get into this.
Yeah.
I know I'm pushing the border, but I do have one more that's based on a novel if you want to hear about it.
Okay.
Please,
okay.
Go.
Okay, but so Scythe is, it's a dystopia, which I love the concept of a dystopia. So the world has no hunger, no disease, no war, no misery. Humanity's conquered all these things and has even conquered death. Now there's people who are called Scythes who are the only ones who can end life, and they have to do so in order to keep the population under control. Hmm. So... and it's young adult, so like it's really heavy, but it's a fairly easy reading level, I guess, is the best way to explain it. I don't know, but it seems pretty cool. It's a trilogy. They've been talked about for years. This first one came out in 2016. The newest one just came out about a year ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got two characters that are chosen to be apprentices to a scythe. Neither of them want to be one. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't want this job, but like, it almost feels like, you remember The Giver?
Yeah.
Like, it almost feels like if The Giver was really fucking dark.
Yeah.
Mm. Darker. Like,
yeah.
Giver fucked me up as a kid, man. It was pretty gnarly, dude. Yeah.
It was gnarly.
Yeah. Especially like to be the, I read The Giver in middle school.
Yeah.
That was a fucking,
it was heavy.
I was reading it and I was like, who let me read this?
Oh yeah.
But they have to master the art of taking life, and if they fail, they will lose their own. So like, you don't have a choice. Like, you have to kill people.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty heavy. God. Sounds pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's called
Scythe. It's by Neil Schusterman, who's written a bunch of stuff. He's pretty big in like fantasy sci-fi stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I know I'm asking this like while we're recording, but are we doing Rex in newsletter or are we just doing Rex during this?
I haven't been putting them in there.
Okay.
Just because I don't usually send a newsletter. And I don't want to spoil it on a Monday.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So the thing that I was talking about earlier called Fear Street. And they've got Fear Street Part 1, 1994, Part 2, 78, Part 3, 1666.
Ooh.
So it was actually pretty good,
Is
man.
It at all based on like R.L. Stein's Fear Street stuff?
That's a,
I don't think it would be. I wouldn't think so. Okay.
I don't know because I didn't realize R.L. Stein did a Fear Street series.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a little bit older than Goosebumps, like reading like level. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like tween kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
or not, it was probably teen because Goosebumps is really like fucking.
Yeah, Goosebumps is kind of for kids. Yeah.
Not going to lie. I have like the entire digital, like first either 40 or 60 or something. Dude, I'm not going to lie. You can read one in an afternoon, and it's just so nostalgic.
It says that is adapted from the books.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It was actually pretty good, man. I'm not going to lie. It was recommended by Matt. Matt, you know who you are. Matt R. but yeah, man. It was good. So I'd recommend those. In addition to a movie by the name of Leprechaun.
God.
I had to throw like a slasher in here. Sure. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, dude. Warwick Davis fucking kills as fucking Leprechaun. Like, he's. Plus, dude, this was like one of the earlier, I don't think earliest, but earlier Jennifer Aniston movies.
Okay.
So, like, she's young as shit. So
if anybody is using adrenochrome, it is Jennifer Aniston.
No kidding.
Like, she uses it well.
No. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I guess she got Ben Affleck on it cause he's looking good now too. Like, really? Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks great now.
Man. Wow. So Dan O'Grady steals 100 gold coins from a leprechaun played by Warwick Davis while on vacation in Ireland. The leprechaun follows him home, but Dan locks the murderous midget in a crate Held, I know.
It's me. I'm the murderer.
PC, Daniel. It's 2018. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. The murderous small person in a crate held at bay by a four-leaf clover. 10 years later, J.D. Redding and his daughter, Tori, played by Jennifer Aniston, rent O'Grady's property for the summer. When their neighbors accidentally release the leprechaun, he goes on a murderous rampage to reclaim his gold. It is absolutely a B-horror film, but it is fun as shit. It really is. So if you just like some fun fucking horror and just like, I don't know, there's just, I don't know why I like this shit. I think something's wrong with me, but whatever.
You're just now realizing that?
Yeah, I know, right? So you can do, you can stream this on Peacock TV. I guess it's some NBC shit, right?
Yeah, no.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or you can fucking pirate it, or yes, you can.
Correct.
Whatever. You can go to the high seas of the internet. But yeah, it's a little over an hour and a half. Out of 1993, it's really fun. You can see Jennifer Aniston pre-adrenochrome, and yeah, man, it's just it's some fun shit. So I love slashers and stuff. So
yeah.
Plus, there are like a boatload of one-liners that are just like, you know, fucking stupid, amazing. So. Yeah. Anywho, Larry, did you have?
I have one more.
Okay.
And this is a movie adapted from a novel. So the author is Stephanie Perkins.
Okay.
And the book is called, or the movie and book is are called, There's Something Inside Your House. Mm-hmm. This falls into horror, thriller, young adult. So. McKinney Young, still adjusting to her new life in the small town of Osborne, Nebraska, has been 1 year since the inciting incident that caused her parents to send her away from Hawaii to live with her grandmother in the rural town. Though McKinney's best friends named Alex and Darby, and even flirts with a romantic interest named Ollie at Osborne High School. She is still a while later. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
The killer enters McKinney's house.
Does not McKinney's compute.
House and decides to move around objects to psychologically torment her. When Grandma Young attends a sleep clinic, Ollie and McKinney head back to her place, but McKinney realizes a few hours later that certain items were suspiciously moved to different parts of the house. She quickly puts two and two together from the knowledge she has about the previous murders and realizes she is being targeted. As soon as the killer emerges from the shadows, they begin to attack her. Luckily, both Ollie and her grandmother are quick to the scene, and the killer is no match for the trio and flees. But before the killer does, this is badly written. They slice McKinney's arm and stab her grandmother.
Slicing happened and grandmother falls.
No, listen, this is written so weird.
It says, no kidding.
What are you reading off of?
Wikipedia. They stab her grandmother haunted by the secrets of her past life. What?
They stab her grandmother with stabbing fool the grandmother.
However, all of that. What was that? Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Was that a guitar?
No.
I
think that was Allie's wheeze laugh.
I'm sorry.
I heard a guitar playing.
Well, anyway, I have a harmonica stuck in my throat. I forgot to tell you guys.
However, all of that is put to the side when the students at her school start getting killed in a series of gruesome murders. As the terror grows closer and the hunt intensifies for the killer. The dark secrets of the past will finally be revealed.
Shit.
And this was out as of October 6th, so you can watch it now.
On what?
Netflix.
Ooh, Netflix. Creepy, creepy. It gets, so basically get a big old thing of popcorn. Don't, for God's sakes, don't turn on closed captioning. Because you're not going to understand anything that's going on.
Yeah, whoever wrote this synopsis, Grandma, was like, no,
I don't know, stab me.
It like restarts sentences in the middle of a sentence, and it made me feel... No.
Yeah, I thought I was like, am I drunk? It like when I was reading, I was like, am I drunk?
It makes me
like, wait a second. I see, no. They inserted something, like they inserted like six lines where they don't go. Should read, she is still haunted by the secrets of her past life.
Yeah.
But in between still and haunted, there are six lines worth of nonsense.
It made me think of this thing that, like, we bought these, like, stink bombs that were, like, obviously from, like, whatever, Taiwan, China, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, like, instructions, when it's like, pop small packet.
Yes.
And then it's like, when bag pop and stinking full the air. And it's like, what?
I love badly translated directions, it's so on good. Stuff. Like, I really like skincare from like Korean skincare. Yeah. But the
it's just, dude, it's completely.
It'll be like, use the wash to the wash the face.
When you wash the face. Yeah.
Okay. I have to read a quote that I found on a thing that's just like recommending horror stuff.
Sure.
Stephen Graham Jones, the guy that wrote My Heart is a Chainsaw that I talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Goodreads asked him, what is your definition of a perfect horror novel? And he says, I feel like this could work for movies and TV shows too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just perfect horror. Okay. One that changes your daily behavior, makes you afraid of the shower, afraid of the dark, suspicious of the people in your life. One that leaves you no longer certain about yourself or the world you live in. A perfect horror novel is one you forget as a book at all. It lodges itself in your head and your heart as an experience, a little perturbation inside you that you only snag your thoughts on when alone. But when those thoughts start to seep blood, you place that cut to your mouth and drink. This is the nourishment you need, never mind how drained it leaves you feeling.
God damn.
Oh, that got like really dark.
I love this dude. Yeah. I've only read one novella and I love him.
I love what he's talking about, that it's like you put it down. So I'm one of these people. I want to walk away from a movie and be like, well, that wasn't that bad.
Right.
But then you start like ruminating on it and you're just like, well, that was kind of creepy. Yeah. And that one part. And then like, well, what if, you just start like, applying it too much, you know,
like when you like cannot get it out of your head.
I love that. I love that shit.
Much like the Fig Men.
Oh, don't fucking talk to me about the fucking Fig Men.
If you guys were part of the book club, you would know what we're talking about.
Yes, you should join the book club. Holy hell! October 27th.
Yep.
We are doing
Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay.
There you go.
Reading it, right, Larry?
Yeah.
As he leans back to vape. No, I'm just kidding. But anywho, I believe that's it.
That's it.
I think that's what we got for episode 36 of Untethered. Yep. Let us know what you guys thought. Say what?
Trey six.
Gotcha. Let us know what is up. You can send all of that to tetherradio@gmail.com. TETHERRADIO@gmail.com. Check us out on all of the socials. Join the Facebook group. Join the book club Facebook group. And I don't know. I guess that's about it. Hope you guys have a fantastic spooky dookie weekend. And until then, take it easy, friendos.
Bye.
Bye.